Today's shiur is a Masechta Ksuvos on Daf Nun Vav. We will begin on the fourth line of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, two words before the end of the line, with the words Yosef Rav Chanina. The Bach actually puts in an extra word, Rav Chanina Kora, which means that Rav Chanina was a great expert in the Psukim, the Makroi Kodesh, the Psukim of the Chumash. And Yosef Rav Chanina Kora Kameid Rav Yana, he was sitting in front of Rav Yana, V'ka'amar halachik Rav Lazar ben Azariah. And he said that the halach is like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. Let us review briefly yesterday's shir so we can understand what the Gemara is referring to. The Gemara refers back to the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, where we find that the Tana Kama holds that Tosfos Ksuba, the additional amount that a husband gives to a wife in a ksuba, is given whether the husband died or divorced his wife, bein mina erusin, bein mina nesuin, even if she became a widow or was divorced, mina erusin, and the engagement period never came to conclusion. She never became actually a nesua, but yet she will receive not only the base of the ksuba, which is 200 for a psula and 100 for an amana, but she will also receive Tosfos ksuba. On this, Rav Lazar ben Azariah, in the fifth line of the Mishnah, said, Mina nesuin govas hakol. You're right. From the nesuin, she will get everything, the base and the Tosfos. But mina erusin besula gova masayim v'amana mana. Then she will only get the base. She will not get the additional amount. Why? Shaloi kasev la ella al minas l'kainsa. Because there's an umdina. We assess his thinking, his mind, and we come to the conclusion that the husband only wrote into the ksuba, the Tosfos ksuba, if that Erusin, if the engagement period would become a reality of Nesuin. If not, if they never married, then on that condition, he did not want his wife to have the additional part. This is what Rav Lazar ben Azariah holds. The Tana Kama apparently did not hold of this umdina, and the Rav Lazar ben Azariah held of this umdina. However, the Gemara on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph told us that Rav and Rav Nosson at the bottom of the Amud, around six lines from the bottom, that the Rav and Rav Nosson, one of them held like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, that the halach is like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, and one said that the halach is not like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara originally wanted to say that it was Rav Nosson who held like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, because the reason of Rav Lazar ben Azariah, as we mentioned, is umdina, we assess his mind that he never wanted to give an arusa to Tosfos ksuba, and we find elsewhere that Rav Lazar ben Azariah holds, that Rav Nosson rather holds of umdina. And therefore, it would make sense that he paskens like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. And if Rav Nosson doesn't, if Rav Nosson holds like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, it must be that Rav is the one who did not pasken like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. Parenthetically, in yesterday's shir, we mentioned the Pnei Yeshua, that the Pnei Yeshua said it's not Rav and Rav Nosson, but rather it's Rav and Rav Yoinesen. Because the Pnei Yeshua says that Rav Nosson did not live at the time of Rav, he lived earlier at the time of Rebbe, and therefore he was Goris Rabbi Yonason. And when we were learning the Shir, I asked that the Brisa that is quoted is from Rav Nosson. How do we reconcile, according to the Pnei Yeshua, if the Bar Plukta of Rav is Rabbi Yonason, how do we reconcile that Brisa that the Gemara brings, which is Rav Nosson, who paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri, who held of umdina? After the shir, one of the participants, Rabbi Meir Waxman, here at the OU, pointed out to me that the Mesoros HaShas there on Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph brings in Os Hey that in Chulin, in fact, the Girsa is not Rab Nosson, but Rab Yoinesen. He then brings that in Menachos, the Girsa is Rab Yoichanan, but at least according to that Girsa in Chulin, this would work well with the Pnei Yeshua, who said, we're not Garis Rab Nosson, we're Garis Rab Yoinesen. Whether it's Rab Yoinesen or Rab Nosson, the Gemara's Havamina in yesterday's shir was that Rab Nosson holds of Umdina, and he will paskin like Rab Lazar ben Azariah, and Rav does not hold like Rab Lazar ben Azariah because he doesn't hold of Umdina. However, on Nun Vav, Nun Hamid Beis, we brought a proof that from a Gemara in Bava Basra, we brought a proof that Rav also holds of Umdina, and therefore the Maskona of yesterday Shiru at the top of Nun Vav Amid Aleph, the Amid that we're on, was, as the Gemara says at the top of the Amid, Tarvayu Azli Basra Umdina. Both Rav and Rab Nosson, or Rav and Rab Yoinesen, as we mentioned, both of them hold of Umdina. The question is, which Umdina? One of them, and we don't know which one holds what. We don't know who holds like Rab Lazar ben Azariah, because they both hold of Umdina. So again, either it's Rav or Rab Nosson. They hold of Umdina, but which one? So one of them holds like Rab Lazar ben Azariah, Halacha is like Rab Lazar ben Azariah, but what's the Umdina as we mentioned before? Because we assess his thinking that he didn't want to give it to a Arusa. He would only give the additional goodwill gesture of being magnanimous, of giving her Tosus Ksuba, extra to the Ksuba, if the Arison leads to the Nisuin. If the Arison does not lead to the Nisuin, he never meant to give it to her. However, either Rav or Rav Nosson, one of them will hold like the Tanakama, and the Tanakama also holds of the Umdina, but there's a different Umdina. We assess that what he meant to do with this magnanimous gesture of a Tosus Ksuba was to have Kiruv Das, was to have a close relationship with his fiance, with his Arusa, and he wasn't thinking about Nisuin, and he accomplished the Kiruv Das. That's the minig of Chas V'Kala, to give gifts one to another, which brings about a close feeling for one to the other, and that he accomplished. If he accomplished it, then in fact, even if there was, unfortunately, that the chassan was nifter before the nesuin, or there was a gerushin before the nesuin, but afal pi kein, the tosus ksuba remains in effect according to the Tanakhama. That is where we got up to in yesterday's shir. And now, beginning with the fourth line of the Gemara Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Yosef Reb Chanina Kara, Kamei Rav Yani V'kam, or Halachik Rav Lazar ben Azariah. He was of the opinion that the Halach is like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, that there is no Tosus Ksuba by this Alman or this Garsher from the Arison. Amar Lei, so Rav Yani said to Rav Chanina, Puk, Kri, Karach, Labra, go and read your psukim outside of the Beis HaMedrash. The Korban Ha'eda explains what he meant was, you're an expert in Chumash, but stay in your field of expertise. Don't come into the Beis HaMedrash and be involved in the intricacies of halacha, which you're not an expert in, because Rav Yanai says, Ein halacha Rav Lazar ben Azariah. The halacha is not like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. Am Rav Yitzchak bar Dimi Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Yitzchak bar Dimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, and the Rashi says that who is Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu is Rav. However, Tosfos brings down in the top Tosfos on the daf, Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Pirish Bekuntus, Rabbeinu Rav, Akasha, the Imkain, Tikshim, Ahacha, Testarim, the Rav, who Domer Krablazim, and Azar. We have a whole question. And we ended off in yesterday's shir that we really don't know whether it's Rav or Rav Nosson who hold like Krablazim, and Azar. If you're going to tell me that Rabbeinu over here is Rav, the way Rashi learns, so then, we would have a proof that Rav is the one, according to Rabbi Yitzchak bar Dimi, Mishum Rabbeinu, Rav, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why didn't the Gemara bring this as a proof that it's Rav who holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So that's why Tosfos says, Lekach nirid Rabbeinu Hainu Rebbe. And there were, Tosfos goes on to say there were two Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimis, and this was not the latter Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, this was the first Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who was a Talmud of Rebbe. So here we have a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, is the Rabbeinu, our master, the teacher, is he Rav, or is it Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nachman did the Amar. Rav Nachman himself said, Ein Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'Nardoi Mishmei de Rav Nachman. Nardoi in the name of Rav Nachman, and Stam Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Amri Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Af Al Gav De Lot Rav Nachman, and the Rishash says this is not Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, but it's Rav Nachman bar Abba. Even though Rav Nachman bar Abba cursed the Amr, and he said, "Call Dinah any judge, the Doin Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who will paskin like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that an Arusa, a Grush or an Almana min Erusin, does not receive Taisus Ksubim." Like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so and so should happen to him. In other words, he gave him a curse, which the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what the curse was. So even though Rav Nachman bar Abba made such a curse, in spite of what Rav Nachman bar Abba said, halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah, halacha like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and the Gemara concludes, halacha lemaisa, as Rashi says, the Bnei Yeshiva, those who were the Mechabrim of Shas, when it came to issue the final psak in this matter, halacha lemaisa, what should the dayan do? Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The bottom line is that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and we assess the mind of the chassan that he didn't want to give the Taisus Ksuba if the Erusin would not come to Nisuin, and therefore Nisam or Nisgarshim, and Erusin does not receive the Taisus Ksuba. Continues the Gemara, boy, Ravin had a following question. Nichnas l'chup of loy nivala mahu. We are going according to the psak that it's like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And that if it's Nisam and Nisgarshman Erusin, she will not get Taisus Ksub. She has to go l'chupa. But what happens if she was Nichnas l'chupa? But he did not have relations with her, perhaps right after the chuppah, God forbid he passed away. Now, do the Yorshim have to give the almana, the Taisus Ksuba? So we have to assess at what point does he have the proper affection for her, that if he reaches that point, he will have in mind that he does want to give her, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, he will grant her the Taisus Ksuba. So mao, chibas chuppah koina. Do I say it is the affection of the chuppah itself, just bringing her into the bridal canopy, that itself is enough if he reaches that point that he is willing to give her the Taisus Ksuba? Or no, you know what's kinder for her, the Taisus Ksuba, only if the chuppah leads to Bia. And if the chuppah did not lead to Bia, then he is still not giving her the Taisus Ksuba according to the way we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Tashma, come in here. The Tani Rabbi Yosef, Shaloi Kasev La Elo Al Chibas Lai La Harishan. Rabbi Yosef said that he did not write her to Taisus Ksuba only if he reaches the chiba, the affection of the first night. So what does it mean that he comes to the first night? If you're going to say that the affection that is generated through the chuppah is what is kind of for her to Taisus Ksuba, so then it makes sense. Haina Damer, Laila Harishan, the first night. Because the chuppah is only the first night. Ele'i amrat chibas bia koina. But if you're going to say it is the chiba of bia, which is koina for the Taisus Ksuba, bia, belaila risha in isa mikam ve'elech lesa, is bia only the first night and not after the first night? Chuppah stops the first night. But bia continues after the first night. So therefore, from the Lashon of Rabbi Yosef, who said that he only wrote her the Tosfos Ksuba if he would come to the affection generated by the first night, it would indicate that he's speaking about Chuppah and not Bia. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Ve'ela, my Chuppah, what do you want to say? That Laila Rishon refers to Chuppah, Chuppah B'Laila Issa B'Yamam Alessa? Is Chuppah only at night, not during the daytime? You can have a Chuppah during the day. So if you're speaking about being precise in the language of Rabbi Yosef, it wouldn't fit for Chuppah either, because why only at night? What about a Chuppah in the day? Ula Taimei, so the Gemara says back, what do you want to say? That it's Bia? That's also not precise. Bia B'Laila Issa B'Yamam Alessa? Bia is only at night and not in the day. You could have a B in the day as well. Ha'amar Rava, Rava said, Imhoya Bebeis Ofel, if they were in a dark house, let's say a place there's no windows, it's totally dark, mutter, then even during the daytime, he could have relations with his wife. There's no issue there of modesty, of tznius, of seeing things that he shouldn't see, because it's totally dark, even in the daytime. And then, in fact, it's mutter. So you could have relations in the daytime also. So the Gemara says, Holoi Kasha, that's not a question. Urich Ara Kamash Malon, the Bia B'Laila, the Lashon of Laila Harishon, the Lashon of Laila, even though you say you could have Bia in the daytime, but Rabbi Yosef was describing to you the normal way. The normal way is to have Biyu at night. El Chuppah, Kasha, but Chuppah, it will not be precise. You were telling me that it refers to Chuppah because Biyu is follows the first night as well. So it must refer to Chuppah, which is only the first night. But if you're going with precision of language, why is Chuppah good? Chuppah could be in the day. Bia, it's not normal to be in the day. It's normally done at night. So the Gemara says, Chuppah nami like Hasha. Chuppah also is not a question. I could fit it into the Lashon of Laila Rishon. Why? Because Kivin, the stam Chuppah labia kayemis, labia kayma, since the normal Chuppah results in Bia, Urich Arka mashmon de Belaila. So the Chuppah itself comes before the Bia. And since the Bia is at night, so the normal Chuppah is also going to be at night. It could be during the day, but normally it comes a little before the Bia, which will be at night. So therefore, what the Gemara is winding up is that the proof from the word Laila cancels itself out. That's a neutral lashon that could be used either for the Bia that's normally done at night or for the Chuppah, which precedes it, that's normally done at night. So what am I left with? I'm left with the word Laila Harishon. Laila Harishon would indicate Chuppah because Bia follows Laila Harishon also. The only thing that's one time is Chuppah. So it would seem from the words of Rabbi Yosef that the item that is Kaveya, the kinyan to the woman for Tosfos Ksuba, is not the Bia, but rather the Chuppah. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Sif Beis, the Mechaber says, "V'chein osur l'shamish b'yoyim elim kain he bebeis offel." It's only permitted to be mishamish in the daytime if it's in a dark house. The Ramah adds to the words of the Mechaber, "V'talmud chacham mapel betalisoi." A talmud chacham, even if it's in a house that is not totally pitch black, he can also have tashmish with his wife, if he is mapul, his talisa, he puts his talis over them, and this is permitted, kiven shehutzanua bedracha, v'layavei listakel, since a talmud chacham is trusted to be tsanua, modest in his everyday living, therefore he will not come to look where he should not look. But the Magen Avraham tells us that even this special dispensation that is given to a Talmud Chacham is only im yitzrim is gavrolov. It's only if he has a tremendous urge for his wife and there is a fear that perhaps he will come to an Aveira, then it is permitted. The Chacham Asadim says that if in fact there is yitzrim is gavrolov, then it could be a heter if the person would be coming to an Aveira, if he doesn't have relations with his wife, it would be even a heter, says the Chachma Sodom, for someone who is not a Talmud Chacham. Continues the Gemara, boy Ravashi. Ravashi had the following question. Ravashi is going according to the Maskana that we had in the last Sugya, that Laila Rishon refers to Chuppah and not to Biyah. Rav Ashi had a question. What happens if nichnasa l'chuppah upirsa nida? Let's say she entered the chuppah, and then she became a nida. And Rashi says that the husband, of course, separated himself from his wife who had become a nida, and then he died. Mahu? What is the din? Does she get the Taisus Ksubur not imtim tzolaymer chibas chuppah kaina? If, as we concluded in the last sugya, the chiba of chup is what is kind of, that's what's referred to as lila rishon. So do I say chup the chazi labia? Would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agree to chup, but it's only a chup that's chazi labia where she would acquire the taisus ksuba? Aval chup de loy chazi labia loy. The chupas nida of a woman who became a nida, which he cannot have tashmish with her, and it doesn't come to Bia, then perhaps that's not enough. That state of a chuppah that's not royal Bia is not enough to be kona for her the Tosus Ksuba. Or maybe the main objective is to reach chuppah, the bridal canopy, and even if that chuppah is not roy to have Bia because she's a nida, he would, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, at that point, he would be makna her the Taisus Ksuba. He would have in mind that if I reach that point, I do want to give her a large addition to the Ksuba. The Gemara says, Teiku, that this remains a question. The Rishonim bring down, we've had in the beginning of the Masechta, whether there is Chuppas Nida. If a woman is a nida at the time of the chuppah, could that chuppah be acceptable for nesuin or not? There are some rishonim who want to bring a raya from our Gemara that chuppah nida is not valid because the Gemara says nichnas l'chuppah and then upirsa nida. So it would seem to indicate that it was pirsa nida before the chuppah. One would not even be allowed to be nichnas l'chuppah. It would be an invalid chuppah. However, the Ritva, and we find this in the Rush as well, says it's no raya from this Gemara, because our Gemara is saying that if she became a nida before the chuppah, it's certainly valid, the chuppah, but then we would say that certainly, perhaps there wouldn't be a question, boy Rav Ashi, is that enough to be makneher? If she was a nida preceding the chuppah, then certainly he would not have in mind to be makneher the taisus ksuba. Rav Ashi's whole question is that if she was not a nida before the chuppah, and it was only at the beginning of the chuppah that she became a nida, would he be makneher the taisus ksuba if she reached the chuppah state and was not a nida? But if she was a nida already before the chuppah, then we would say that his das is not to give her the taisus ksuba. But as far as the validity of chuppas nida is concerned, there's no proof from our Gemara that chuppas nida is not valid. The Ritva also adds that if a kala is a nida coming into the chuppah, the chosn should be notified of this, so it should not be a mekach tos, that he thought that his kala is not a nida and she's chazi labia, and now he finds out that she is not chazi labia, would be a mekach tos, therefore he should be notified. You should know that your kala is a nida, and if you want to do the chuppah, go ahead and do it. But you should know that she is not royal labia because she is a nida. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ratza Kosev. Libesula, Shtar Shemasayim V'Kosev, Hiskabalti, I'm quoting from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalamud Beis, Hiskabalti M'cha Mon, Ula Mon Amon V'Kosev, Hiskabalti M'cha Chamishim Zuz. Rabbi Yehuda says that if she wants to make it easier for her husband, that he doesn't have to pay her so much of the Ksuba, she's allowed to write a receipt for him that I've received by a psula, 100 of the 200. You only owe me 100, even though he didn't give her anything. She's being moichel the second 100. Or by an amana, she'll write a shaver, a receipt that I've received 50, and he'll only be responsible in the remaining 50. This Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do. V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, the Kaisen Shaver, asked the Gemara, do I say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you write a shaver? There's a big machloikis whether Kaisen Shaver or not. Do we write a receipt for a lova? Or we don't write a receipt for a lova? What the swars are, we'll see in a moment. But none. We learned in a mission above a basra daf kuf ayin amid beis. Misha par mixas chayva. Somebody who paid up part of his debt. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer Yachlif. So what do we do now? Do we give him a receipt? Or do we, he had a loan for $1,000. He paid up $500. Do we give him a new shtar, halva, a new IOU of $500? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Yachlev. Don't write a shaver, as Rashi explains, because that's going to be to the detriment of the lova. If he gets a receipt, he's going to have to watch that receipt. If that receipt gets lost, or mice eat up the receipt, and he doesn't have it anymore, and the malva will have the same shtar where it says that the lova owed him $1,000. He says, I paid you $500. The malva says, prove it. Let me see your receipt. I don't have a receipt. He would be able to collect $1,000 again. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, write up a new shtar. And Rashi says, although this will come out to be to the detriment of the malva. Why? Because when you write a new shtar, says Rashi, you're going to have to write the date, the later date, when the remainder of the $1,000 loan, the remaining $500, is put into a new shtar. When you put it into a new shtar, you put the new date when the loiva paid up the first $500. And that's to the detriment of the malva, because any nechasim mishubadim, any properties that the loiva sold between the first loan and the partial payment, and the writing of the second shtar. So if he would have the first, if the malva would have the first shtar, he would be able to collect from those nechasim that the lova sold after the date written on the first shtar. But now that we're writing a new date, a later date indicating that the lova had paid up 500, now the malva can only collect from the nechasim that the lova will sell after the second date. So he's losing out the ability to go to all those nechasim mishubadim where he would have a lien on it from the first date. But we don't care. We're going to act on behalf of the loiva. However, Rabbi Yossi says, yichtav loy shaver. No, you write a shaver. We work on behalf of the malva, not the loiva. And the loiva is going to have to watch the shaver. And if he loses it, the malva, yes, will be able to collect again. This is the way Rashi learns the sugya here. However, in the second Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil, Rabbi Yossi Aymer, says Taisvis, Pirish HaKuntis, Mishum Deloy Marin, and Koyach HaMalva, Ligvois, Mizman Sheni. The reason that we say Kaisun Shaiver, according to Rabbi Yossi, is that we don't want to do Machlif, which Rabbi Yehuda said, Yachlif, we don't want to write a new shtar because it'll have a later date, and he'll lose out all those properties that were sold between the first date and the second date. Says Taisus like Pirish Sufiya Maskana to get Parshat. Rashi did not learn like the Maskana of the Sugya in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, because the Gemara there comes out, the Kamar Asim, the time of Rabbi Yossi, Kedei Sheyikov Lepirei. The Gemara has Charata. The Gemara there says that if you write a second star, you write it that I, the Lova, owe the Malva $500, but when is the effective date? Not the new date when I paid partial loan of the $1,000. No, I write the loan as if from day one I only owed you $500. But I am obligated to pay you as of day one. And therefore all the nechasim that were sold after the initial date will be meshubah to the malva. So it's not that we're out for the malva's interest and therefore we write a shoiver because we don't want the malva to lose. The malva is not going to lose anything. The second shtar will have the same date as the original loan. So the reason that Rabbi Yossi says kaifer shoiver is because the shoiver itself will force the loiva. This is what we're doing for the malva. Not that he can get more property, he can have a lien on more property. But rather, the advantage to the malva is, if the loiva has a shoiver, which he has to watch, and he knows that mice could eat it, that will force him to pay quickly, because the longer he waits, the more chance there is he'll lose his receipt. And in mail, he won't be able to prove that he paid a partial loan. That will be a force on the loiva, in the benefit of the malva, to pay up his loan quickly. That's how Tosfos says is the maskana of the Gemara in Bava Basra. Continues the Gemara. The Savra Rabbi Yehuda, the Kaisen Shaiver, Vatanan, we learned over there in Bava Basra. Misha Por Mixes Chaiver, Rabbi Yehuda, Amir Yachl, Rabbi Yehuda, Amir Yichtav Lai Shaiver. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of writing a Shaiver. So why in our Mishnah does it say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that she should write a shaiver for the settlement that she is being moichol half of the ksuba? Amar Rav Yirmiyah kishish shaivarta mitoicha. It's speaking about in our Mishnah where she will keep the ksuba, and on the bottom of the ksuba she will write that I have received half of the ksuba. So now, what's the whole reason, what's the whole problem that Rabbi Yehuda has with writing a shaiver all the time, that we want to work for the benefit of the loiva, that he shouldn't have to keep a receipt? He might lose it, and then the malva will be able to collect twice. But here, if the woman who's going to demand payment of the ksuba pulls out the shtar, on that very shtar will be written that half of it was paid up. So there's no chash, as we usually have with a shaiver, that she's going to lose the shaiver. If she loses the shaiver, she loses the ksuba as well. If she pulls out the ksuba, there it's written that half was paid up. So in that case, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can write a shaiver. That's why in our Mishnah he said that she can write a shaiver on the ksuba itself. Abaye Amar Abaye gave a different teretz to this theory in Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu tevim v'she'en shaivar tamitacha. Even if the shaiver is not written directly on the ksuba, there is a difference between the partial payment of the Mishnah in Bava Basra and our Mishnah here in ksubas. Bishlai mahasam vadipari. Over there, in the case of the malva and the loiva, so the loiva definitely paid half of the loan. So therefore, we want to act on behalf of the loiva. Dilma mirchas chavarta, tavarta. Maybe tavarta means the shtar. Maybe the shtar will get lost, meaning the shaiver will get lost. Umapagle l'shtara. The malva will take out the original shtar where it said he owes $1,000. V'hara gav v'yizib nechrina. He will be able to collect a second time. So that's why there, to protect the loiva, we say that you don't write a shaiver, but rather you redo the shtar, and the shtar only asks the loiva to pay $500. That's the svar of Rabbi Yehuda Bava Basra. But hacha vada yavla. Here is it speaking about a case where he definitely paid her half of the ksuba. That's not true. That's not what happened. Mil sabalma hidam relay. She told him, you know what, I'm moichel half the ksuba. How do we write it up? We'll write it up as if you paid half the ksuba. But he really didn't pay her anything. So therefore, there, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says the onus is on him to watch out the shaiver that he receives. E natri natri. If he watches it, fine. E loi natri. If he's not going to be careful and not going to protect the shaiver, e yehu dafsan anafshei. He doesn't get the benefit of the fact that she was Michael, half the ksuba. When does Rabbi Yehuda say we work on the benefit of the loiva where the loiva actually paid? But over here where the husband didn't pay, it's just the generosity of his wife that she was Michael. At least the minimum that he could do is to watch the shaiver. Here Rabbi Yehuda does not enact for him that you should not write a shaiver. Here we do write a shaiver, and here he has to watch the shaiver. Bishlam Abaya Leomak Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Gemara wants to know why, in the two truths that we had between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya, why each didn't hold of the other's teretz. So Abaya does not like Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that the Shaiver is written on the Ksuba, like Tani Shaivar Tamitach. It doesn't say in our mission that the Shaiver is on the Ksuba. That's why he didn't want to learn that pshat. He says the Shaiver is a separate document. Elo Rabbi Yirmiyah, my time of the Amrik Abaya. Why didn't Rabbi Yirmiyah say, like Abaya, that there's a big difference between the Mishnah Bava Basra and the Mishnah in Ksubis? That here, where he never paid it, it's only due to her benevolence that she was Michael Haftik Suba. There, he does have to watch the Shaiver. The answer is, Rabbi Yirmiyah doesn't hold of that Teretz, because Gzeira Shaiver the Hacha, to Shaiver the Alma. Once we say that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that you don't write a Shaiver, so then we don't want people to get confused, and therefore Rabbi Yirmiyah holds that even the Shaiver of her Mechila, such as in our Mishnah, if you hold Enkais and Shaiver, we would not permit such a Shaiver to be written for the Ksubit either, because a Gzeira ought to a regular Shaiver, which we wouldn't want to write, as we mentioned, to protect the Loive's interests. Continues the Gemara, Taima de Kosvalei. The whole reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it works to write a Shaiver is that he wrote it. But we can make a diyuk, we can deduce from that, that if she just said verbally that I'm moichel you, I'm moichel half of the ksuba, that it wouldn't work. And the Gemara now is going to go into the union of masna masha kosra b'tayra. If somebody makes a condition against a rule of the Torah, so the condition does not stand because it's going against the din of the Torah. So actually, when you say something against the Torah, it makes no difference whether you put it, whether it's verbal or whether it's b'ksav. What the Gemara means here to say is that if you write it down, so then it's not considered that you're tampering with the takon of ksuba. The Gemara here is now going with ksuba being ksuba dechiv ksuba's midaraisa. So if you write it down, a separate document that you paid part of it, so you're saying the takonis ksuba is intact, and I have a proof that I paid part of it. Fine. But if you're just going to say it verbally, so then it's like saying that from day one, you really didn't obligate yourself to 200 for a psula or 100 for an almana. You only obligated yourself to 100 for a psula and 50 for an almana. That is tampering with the Torah. That should not be effective. The Gemara says, why shouldn't it be effective? Am I? Darishav Mamanu. This contains to money. Vishamin Le Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds the Amar, Darishav Mamanu, Tanai Kayim, that something which pertains to money, his Tanai is Kayim. We don't say it's masna mashu kosra Torah. He's making a condition against something that's written in the Torah, and his condition is bottled. The Sani we learned in the Brai. So I'm Elisha, a person says to a woman, Harei at mekudeshes li, you are mekudeshes to me. Amenasha ein loch alai sherek susvai. No, that which the Torah gave you, that I have to provide you with food, clothing, or tashmish, I do not want to obligate myself in those obligations. Harezu mukadeshes. So the chalois kedushin goes into effect, and v'tnai batal. The tnai, however, is batal. Now, you do have to keep what the Torah says, because you're masna masha kasa b'tayra. Divri Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yudu Aymer, by oino, which is not something to do with money, the inyan of tashmish, you're right. Masna masha kasa b'tayra, tnai batal. The kedushin goes into effect. The Tanai is not effective, and therefore, he is married to her, he's mekudeshes to her, with the understanding that he will go through with Tashmish. However, concerning the Davrishab Mammon, as Rashi says, the She'er Uksus, the clothing and the food, which is only Negeya to money matters, there, even though you're going against that, what it says in the Torah, Tanai Kayim. The Tanai is Kayim, and he doesn't have to give her food or clothing. So the Gemara's question is, why does Rebuta say that it's only effective if she writes a Shaiver? But if she says it verbally, it's not effective because you're going against Ksuba Deraisa. You're going directly against the enactment of Ksuba Deraisa. But it's a Darvish Mammon, and Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that by Darvish Mammon, the Tanai is effective. So Rabbi Yehuda should have said in our Mishnah, not only if she writes it, but even if she says it verbally, it works. Gemara answers, Ksav Rabbi Yehuda, Ksuba Derabanan. You're making a mistake. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold Ksuba Deraisa. He holds Ksuba Derabanan. And you know what? If Ksuba is the Rabbanan, people are lax with Dinam of the Rabbanan. So although Minat Torah, Darvishim and Mammon, if you're Masna against the Torah in money matters, your Tanai is effective, but the Rabbanan strengthened their words stronger than, they gave it more potency than the Halacha of the Torah, and therefore if you go against an enactment of Ksuba, which is Midrabbanan, so that the din is that your tnai is batal. It's only when you write it down where there it's considered you're not going against the takana. You're letting the takana stand, but you are doing a separate transaction of mechila, which is indicated in the shover. That is permitted because it's not considered going directly against the takana of Chazal. Frey de Gemara, I'll bring you Rabbi Yehuda Shita, in a Derabbanan, where the Rabbanan did not do a chizuk more than the Torah. Hare Peres, we know when a wife brings in certain properties into the marriage. We have two kinds. We learned this in Yevamos. There's Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, where she owns it, and she gives it to the husband, and he has to give it back to her at the end of, if their marriage ends, she receives it back exactly the value that the property was when it was brought into the marriage. That's called steel nechasim, nichsei tzayim barzel. Then there's other nechasim, nichsei melug, which are, she owns the guf, and if it appreciates or depreciates, she suffers the loss, or she gains, if it becomes worth more. However, the payers, that goes to the husband. So why did the husband, why was he given as part of the Tanai Ksuba the Peiros of Nichsei Melug? Because the Gemara says earlier in the Masechta that Mem Zayin Amud Beis Perkana Tachas Peiros. It's a Takanas Chazal. Since we want him to redeem her if she gets captured, and opposite of that, we want to give him something, and therefore we allow him to eat the Peiros of the Nichsei Melug. So the whole enactment that he eats the Peiros is a din de Rabbanan. And yet, we find Veloy Avdulei Rabban Chizuk, he could make a condition to go, a verbal condition against the Takanas Chachamim, and his words are bona fide, they're good, the Tanai will be accepted. This time we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. Rabbi Yehuda said, the same Rabbi Yehuda, La'olam o'eichel peiros, he eats forever the fruits and the fruits of the fruits, ad sheyichtev lo, until he writes her the following words, din udvorm einli bin chaseich, I don't have any monetary business with your property, peirosein, and in their fruits, peirosein, ad olam, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But if you wrote that, then it's good. And the kaimelon, as we turn to daf nun vav amud beis, my kaisev oimer. The Gemara says, for various reasons, that the word kaisef here really doesn't mean writing. It means oimer, he merely said it. So what do we see? We're dealing with a takana derabbanan, and yet if he says, he stipulates, I don't want to have anything to do with it, and he only says it, the din is that his words are fulfilled. His tanai is kayim. So here you find the din derabbanan, and yet we don't say that the derabbanan did a chizik more than Torah. Since it's negei mamonis, just like in the Torah you would say it's not masna masher because of a Torah and its tanai is kayim, here is a derabbanan where it's also tanai kayim. Amar Abaye, the answer, the difference is, l'chol yesh ksuba v'loy l'chol yesh Peiros. The difference is, Ksuba, everybody has. But Peiros, not everybody has. Because, usually, Nichsei Melug, come to a woman when the husband said, when someone says to her, I'm giving you a present, which her husband shouldn't have any part of. So she acquires the guf and he gets the peres. That's not a usual thing. And we have a rule that chachamim only enact things which are shchiach, but things milsloi shchiach, the rabbanim weren't geyser, as the Gemara continues. Milsa, the shchiach of the rabbanim chizik. When it comes to the ksuba, which is a usual thing, so there, if she verbally says that she's marchal par of the ksuba, Rabbi Yehuda holds that she has no power to do that. She's going against an enactment of Chazal. And the Rabbanan did chizik l'divrei yoyis mishal taira, even though by dinei mamonis we would say t'noi kayim, here mid Rabbanan by dinei mamonis we do a chizik, we strengthen the dinei Rabbanan, and the words are not kayim. However, by nisei melug, it's milsul loishticha. Over there, lo yavdu b'Rabbanan chizik, the Rabbanan did not make a chizik to their words because it's not a usual thing. And therefore, here, it follows the din deraisa that by dinei mamonis, he could make a condition, and the condition is valid. And he does not take from her the privilege of eating her fruit. Frei de Gemara, harei chamor. What about the case that we had earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, where you had two donkey drivers? They were distributing grain from the farmers to the consumers. And that is a case of shchichi demai. That was a subject of demai. They are amaratzim. And we learned in yesterday's Gemara the concept of demai. Domai, what is this? Maybe this is tevel that meiser wasn't taken from it. And even though most amaratzim do give meiser, the Rabbanan said that if you're buying from an amoritz, you have to take off meiser. Now, what happens if, in this case, the two donkey drivers, one said on the other that his tfuah is good and mine is not good? It would seem to be saying the truth. Why would he recommend his friends and not his own? And the Gemara said that we don't accept it because the Chayshin and Legoimlin were afraid that maybe in this city they have the scheme, the fraud, that I'll say yours is good and mine is no good, so everybody will think I'm saying the truth and they'll buy from you. And in the next city, you'll do the same for me. Says the Gemara, Harei Chamorim, Dishchichi. This was an inyan of demai, which is a usual thing. V'loy avdu Rabbanan Chizik. And we don't find that the Rabbanan made a Chizik l'divrayim, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we're speaking about according to Rabbi Yehuda, this nun. We learned in the Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Demai, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin, Hachamorin, these donkey drivers, Shenichnasu Lir, they came into a city. V'yomer Echman, and one of them said, Shali Chadash, V'shachaveri Yashin. I have, as Rashi learns, new tfuah, which is not dried out properly, and therefore it's not so edible. But my friend is older tfuah, which is dried out and very fit for eating. Shali ain't a mesukin. My tfuah, I didn't take my sir off. Vishachaveir mesukin. But my friend, his is all ready to go. It's the meiser was taken off. Tanakama holds ain't among them. They are not believed because we're worried about Goimlin, that in this city you'll do that for me and I'll do it for you. And in the next city you'll pay me back and you'll say the same thing about mine. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer nemanim. Rabbi Yehuda says they are believed and we don't make a chizuk. We don't make a chizuk and like we would do by a din deraisa. If we are involved in dinei deraisa, there we are worried about goyimlin. That's what the Gemara's maskana was on Daf Chav Dalet. It's only by inyanim derabbanan, like demai, that we Rabbi Yud is not worried about goyimlin. So we see that over there in the inyan of goyimlin, he does not strengthen the din derabbanan to equal or surpass the din deraisa. So the same Rabbi Yehuda, why should I say that by a milsa de shchicha, like by ksuba, that they made a chizuk, yoyser mishal taira, and that if he made a condition against the din de rabbanan, it would be t'nai batal. Amar Abaye, vadeg de divrayim av du rabbanan chizuk, suffik de divrayim, loy av du rabbanan chizuk. Abaye says, there's still a difference. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we only make a chizik, as we learned before, by milsa d'shchicha. But in a milsa d'shchicha, It depends. Is it a vaday enactment or is it an enactment out of suffix? The whole union of demai is a suffix. Because Rashi says that midaraisa and divrei amaskel b'demai hikilu, we're going to see that in a few lines, that the whole union midaraisa, we go after roiv. And roiv, amaratzim, give meiser. So the whole thing to begin with is a suffix. Midaraisa, there is no suffix, but the whole suffix is based on what the Rabbanan hold. Suffix the divreim. If it's a suffix, there the Rabbanan didn't do a chizuk, even if it's a milsa d'shchich. However, ksuba is a definite enactment, so that it shouldn't be kalob ben of leitzioi, that he shouldn't be able to divorce his wife easily. He should have to pay money, substantial money, when he divorces his wife. So that's not a suffix takana. That's a takana, a definite takana. A definite takana. They made a chizuk, and therefore, she is not able to be mochel diksuba, without having it written in the shtar, because that flies in the face of this vaday takana, which the Rabbanim made a chizuk even more than the regular din Torah, where by dine mominis, we say that there's no problem of masna mashkas b'tayra. That is the answer of Abaya. Rava Amar b'dmai hikilu. They were specially makel by dmai because, as Rashi says, there's really not a suffix, because Rava Amaratzim give meiser. So this is a special dispensation for dmai that the Rabbanu did not give a chizuk. But by other dinei d'Rabbanan, they did give a chizuk. Rashi brings down a second pshat here in Chodesh and Yashin that it refers to the iser of Chodesh, which pertains to the Omer, that any tfua before, which were grown before the Omer, there's a din of Chodesh following the Omer, then it's, the Omer is then matirit. So, the one fellow said, mine is Chodesh, mine you have a problem with Chodesh. It didn't go through the Omer period yet to be matirit. And my friend's is Yashin. That went through the Omer period. It's already old tefua. You don't have to worry about the Isser Chodesh. Not like Rashi Pshat, the Chodesh means that it's not dried out, and Yashin means it is dried out. So Rashi does not like that Pshat, because Rashi says if Chodesh is a new Isser, so actually we're speaking about two Isserim in the Gemara. One is Dmai and one is Chodesh. So the Gemara at the end says, B'dmai hikilu. You were makel by Dmai. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says we're not worried about Goimlin. What answer will you give concerning Chodesh? The Isser Chodesh, how were they makel? So therefore, Rashi says that Chodesh is not speaking about an Isser, but rather Chodesh is another way that he was trying to fool the consumer. Mine is not Masukin, my friend's is Masukin. Mine is Chodesh, it's not good, my friend's is good. People will think, oh wow, he's really saying the truth. He's speaking against his own produce, and he's saying his friends are good. Normally, people are not mishabech the competition, and here he is. He must be saying the truth, and really, it's a charade. It's a fraud. So Rashi says the Chodesh is not a new Isser. We're not talking about the Isser Chodesh, but rather it's another way for him to deceive the consumer. Continues the Gemara, Rab Meir Omer call up Poiches. We're going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rab Meir's opinion is that anyone who gives less than 200 to a psula and 100 to an amana, his bia is a bia's nus. So the Gemara says, call up Poiches afilu b'tzna. That as Rashi points out, the Mishnah, Rab Meir could have succinctly said, any psula who doesn't receive 200, or an almana mana, harezu bilas nus, it's a promiscuous affair. Why did Rav Meir say the words, whoever poiches, whoever lessens the entitlement, why didn't he just say, a psula who didn't get 200? So the answer would seem that kol ha-poiches afilu b'tznai, even if you made it on a tznai, and the tznai doesn't work, the tznai is batal, still it's considered a bia's nus. What's the reason? So it says the Gemara, Alma Kesover, Tanai batal, V'isla. That really, he was poiches. He tried to make certain that she would not receive any of the benefits. But it doesn't work. Because we're going to hold that even by Dine Mominis, Masna Masha Kasba Taira Tanai Batal. Ve'isla, she's going to get her share and her ksus. So why, in fact, if so, if she's getting everything, why is it a bilisnus? Says the Gemara. Ve'kiven de Amar lo leslach elamana. But since she was told by him that you're only going to get a mana, loisamcha daita. So she is not saimach das. If she's going to get less, here we're talking about the 200 for a psula. If she's going to get less than the 200, she's only going to get 100. So she's not saimach das on it. She has no security. Vahavila bilasa bilasnus. She's only getting married to him because she has security of exuba. If he's telling her that you're only going to get 100 instead of 200, or you're only going to get a 50 by amana instead of 100, then she doesn't want to get married in such a fashion, and she has no security of the exuba, and therefore her bila will be a bilasnus. Faith Gemara, is that the pshat in the words of Rameir? Rashamina le Rameir de Amr, kala masna mash kasbatar tanai batal. If your masna against the Torah, your tanai is batal, but habad the Rabbanan tanai kayim. And the Gemara is now assuming, as we said on Ahmed Aleph, that ksub is only with the Rabbanan. So by the Rabbanan, if your masna, your Rameir holds your tanai is kayim. So why do we say over here that your tanai was batal? And you have to pay the full 200. But even though you have to pay the full 200, it's a biznus, but Lemaiser of Meir holds that Tznoi Kayim, that he wouldn't have to pay the full 200 because Sub is only Drabonin, and by Drabonin Tznoi Kayim, the more answers, Ksav Rameir, Rameir holds Ksub de Raisa, not like we said on Ahmed Aleph, that the Mundi Omer there held Rab Yehuda holds Ksuba de Rabbanan. Rab Meir, in fact, holds Ksuba de Raisa, and therefore he holds, whether it's Dine Mominus or not, Masna Masha Kasa Batara, Tznoi Batal, but even though Tznoi Batal, and he owes it to her, but still the Bila is a Bila Snus. Tani, we learned in the Braisa. Rab Meir, Reimer, call HaParichas Lepsulim Vesayim Lamana Mimana, as we learned in our Mishnah, HaReiz Du Bila Snus. Rab Yaisi, Reimer, Rishoy, Rab Yaisi, he's allowed to, and L'chari de Pshat would be, because Ksuba is Min HaTayra, and by a Darvish of Imam and Tanai Kayim, Rabbi Yisrael hold that his Tanai is effective. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda basically, as Rashi explains, holds like Rabbi Yossi that his Tanai would be Kayim, but that's only if it's written down. He disagrees. Rabbi Yossi holds it doesn't matter whether it is verbal or written down. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Ratza Kaisev Lepsul Ishtar Shal Masayim. He could write a regular star of Messiah, v'hi kaiseves loy his kabalt mucha mana ula mana mana v'hi kaiseves loy his kabalt mucha chamishim zuz. She has to write it. If she says it verbally, as we learned before, on Ahmed Aleph, that's considered a direct challenge to the takon of Chazal. And there, her words would be batal because asu chachamim chizik ledivrayim yaisur mishal Torah. However, if she wrote it down, then it's considered, I leave the takana the way it is, except there's a separate document of a shayver that she was Michael. Then, according to Rav Yehuda, it will be acceptable. And Rabbi Yehuda, as we said in Ahmed Aleph, holds that Ksub is the Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan made a chizik of the Vrem Yosh Mishal Taira, if she said it, that it's not effective. Fred the Gemara on Rabbi Yosi Shita, Vesav Rabbi Yosi, Rishoy, does Rabbi Yosi hold that she is permitted, that you are permitted to give less than 200 or to an amana of Ramin? I'll ask you a question. Ain oisin Ksub is Isha Metalton. You cannot have the source of the payment of the Ksubas Isha from Metaltlin, Vipnei Tikkun Olam, because Metaltlin are movable, they could get lost, and then she will have no Ksuba, she'll have nothing to take the Ksuba from. So therefore, the halach is that Ksuba is only, as we learned before, at the beginning of this parak, that Ksuba only is paid out from real estate. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi now says, and enigmatic phrase. V'chima tikkun olam yesh bezu. How are we helping this woman? V'aloi ein ksuvin u'parchsin. The metaltlin don't have a set value, and they can go up and down in value, and therefore it could be what she was depending on for her 200 zuz will actually, when it comes time to collect, will only be worth 50 zuz. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What machloikus is there here between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi? Because Tanakam and Nami ain't oisim kamar. It seems Rabbi Yossi and Tanakam seem to be saying the same thing. And yet they have some kind of machloikus here. The Tanakam is also saying, you don't collect the ksuba from metaltalit. And Rabbi Yossi says, you don't collect the ksuba from metaltalit because their value is not fixed and she could lose. So what's the machloikus? El alav hachikamar. You have to say that there are words missing here. When does the Tanakhama hold that you do not set aside metaltalin for ksuba? That's if the husband didn't accept responsibility. If he accepted responsibility that if they get lost, then I will pay you from another source. Don't worry, you're secure. Even if these particular metaltalin are lost, I will pay out. Then oisin. Then the Tanakhama holds, you could make the metaltalin if he accepts a chrys. You could accept the metaltalin for the source of the payment of the ksuba. The osir, Rabbi Yosla Meimer, Rabbi Yosla comes, and on that, he disagrees with the Tanakhama. Ki kibla of a chrys, amai oisin. Why do you Tanakhama hold that if he accepted responsibility, you will collect from metaltalin, valoy engsu v'pachsin. He only accepted responsibility if they get lost. But there's another problem with metaltalin. There's no set value and they can depreciate in value. So now the Gemara says, hashtu ma hosam, didil m'pachsi, chayish Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi prohibited us to make the source of the payment of the ksuba from metaltalin because maybe they'll go down in value. So here where he is telling her, I'm not going to pay you 200. I'm only paying you 100. That's what they wrote in the Shriver. She says, I'm marchal the 100. And here Rabbi Yossi will say, Rishoy, you're allowed to do such a thing. If for a cheshash, over there in that Gemara, he says you cannot use metaltalin. So L'chaira here, he certainly should hold where she's going to lose it definitely, not maybe, but definitely, that it shouldn't be effective. The Gemara answers, Hachi Hashda, how can you compare one to the other? Hasam L'yadid the Tachal. Over there, we're worried that her whole life she'll be Samech Das. She'll think, oh, I don't have to worry, I have security because of the metaltalin. And the Rabbanan say that if he accepted a chwai instead of the metaltalin get lost, that it's still effective to collect from metaltalin because she has security that if it gets lost, she'll still be able to collect. And on that, Rabbi Yossi said no, because it might depreciate and she's going to be soymech das on something that's not going to hold out. Then is when Rabbi Yossi said that you can't use metaltalin, because she will be getting involved in a transaction where she doesn't even realize that at the end will be to her detriment because it'll go down in value. But hacha, but in the case of our Mishnah, yadra v'kamachla, she knows definitely that she is going to lose 100. But because of her love for her husband, she wants to be magnanimous and say, don't worry, you don't have to pay me the whole 200. You only have to pay me 100. So here she knows what she's getting into. And from her own volition, she says, I don't want the full 200. So here Rabbi Yossi holds that Rishoy, that ain't a chanami. She is allowed to be meichel on the 100. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, Rishoy. I recently saw at a Svardi chasana that in their ksuba, they write in that if the husband coerces her to make this mechila, it's not effective. It's only if, on her own magnanimous gesture, she decides that I'm going to do it, that it is effective. And here, the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yossi will in fact hold, Rishoy, she is allowed to do that.